You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here, we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity evaluator and your one-stop source for information on giving and reports on the most asked about charities. I'm Art Taylor, your host, and with me today is Mr. Jim Manis, who is the pioneer who created Text to Give. So we're going to talk about that today. But Jim has an extensive history in successfully developing international markets for technology-based companies and leading pioneering initiatives in wireless technology and philanthropy. He was a key leader in building the direct-to-consumer mobile business in the U.S. and Canada, established industry standards and consumer best practices through the Mobile Marketing Association and CTIA, and was responsible for the first use of mobile giving in response to relief efforts for the Indonesian tsunami and Hurricane Katrina as an executive of M-Cube Inc. Jim founded the Mobile Giving Foundation in 2007 and the Mobile Giving Foundation Canada in 2009 with the support of other leaders in the wireless and nonprofit communities to pioneer the use of mobile solutions for social good. His work has resulted in being named by the Nonprofit Times as one of the top 50 power and influence people in philanthropy. And I am happy to call him a friend and have him with me today to discuss all of the interesting background and how we now have this wonderful tool at our disposal, Text to Give. Welcome, Jim. Well, Jim, you've had a very interesting career with wireless technology being the focal point of all of your work. And I want to get into how that led you to the creation of this wonderful tool we have called mobile giving. So how is it that you arrived at wireless technology as a career? You're one of the early pioneers, so I'm sure there'll be some fascinating stories with that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Art. It's a great question. I don't often think about it simply from the standpoint that I started my career in telecommunications kind of mid-career, if you will, from a focus in international trade and international technology that dates back to my time in grad school. Right. So it was all about trying to figure out how to leverage technology to build communities. And telecommunications, specifically wireless communications, was an emerging technology at that time that felt to me to offer, you know, strong prospects with respect to compensation and a career. But most specifically was a technology that brought people together and enabled us to do things. So that was my trigger. And, you know, I came into wireless, if you will, kind of a little bit late. Well, I came in from a building trade missions back in the 80s. But then when I left the International Trade Administration and left another company that I started called Westbridge Technology, then I went into some other startups and most specifically M-Cube. And M-Cube helped us build third-party applications in the wireless industry that brought people together to be able to leverage their buying capacity and leverage their ability to communicate via text, if you will. So at the end of the 1990s, it, as you know, it was a pretty explosive area in terms of startups and internet technology. And that really gave me the platform to work with here in terms of moving wireless into other forms of social impact.
So specifically with regard to Text to Give, Where did this idea come from, and how were you able to bring it to life?
Well, Text to Give came about in 2004, early 2004, specifically when I was a senior executive and one of the members of the founding team at a company called M-Cube. M-Cube built what we refer to as third-party aggregation. So you'll recall back at that time frame, being able to send a text message was relatively new. And in fact, if you were on Verizon, if you were a Verizon customer, and if I was an AT&T customer, just the year prior to that, you and I couldn't send each other a text message. So the ability, that growing market, if you will, that now consists of over 350 million Americans and billions worldwide, being able to send and receive a text to each other as a common form of communications had developed in parallel to a massive global event that we look back on as that Indonesian tsunami. And that Indonesian tsunami really was created such powerful emotions that M-Cube with me and Verizon with people like David Oberhauser and Doug Busk, and then AT&T and other carriers joined in to create a mobile giving response to the massive needs that emerged out of that Indonesian tsunami. That was the first case in the use case of text to give in the world. So it was triggered by a knowledge of the technology. It was triggered by a massive global need, and it was triggered by kind of the emotionality of a response to a large-scale natural disaster that helped bring groups of people together for action.
So, Jim, one of the big questions everyone has is, what is this magic that enables us to pull out our phones, respond to a request, and bang, a donation goes to a charity? How does it actually work? What are the steps involved in this process?
Well, the magic really has been able to facilitate an impulse response by a donor to an opportunity to give, if you will. And the specific elements of it are one that combines inside a text message, right? So we all know and experience the ability to send and receive a text message, whether it's from me to you, or whether it's from me to or you to one of the thousands of commercial entities that today uses that technology. We went one step further and added a transactional capability embedded in that text message. So an impulse response, in my view, which is the target in this case, needs to have a safe environment within which to work. And by safe, I mean all the parties need to be trustworthy. They need to follow a prescribed set of standards. We need to be able to trust that the action I'm taking is going to, in fact, carry forward with a technology that enables the initiation of an action and the completion of that action within a very short time frame. And I'm talking like 10 seconds, right? And when you can kind of compress that communication capability, in this case via text, and a transactional capability, in this case via a bill that actually appears on your phone bill, you pay your phone bill and then the carrier collects that money and they remit that money to the Mobile Gaming Foundation, then that becomes a very powerful tool. And in this case, a tool that skews with respect to use to a younger demographic. Certainly it did back in 2004, 2005, when we first initiated that, and of course became the foundation of the use case scenario, if you will, of establishing the foundation back in 2007, 2008, and then in Canada in 2009. So the interaction is real clear. One is we qualify all charities, all beneficial charities that are under contract with the Mobile Giving Foundation to standards to ensure that transparency and accountability, things which the BBB Wise Giving Alliance, of course, have defined and promoted, do in fact exist within the beneficiary charity. We establish campaign components, in this case, short codes and keywords and price points on our platform. So we aggregate those elements that are required for me to communicate with any application, for that application to bill, and then on your phone bill, and then for us to be able to track that in order to appropriately account for those dollars upon our receipt. So it's a bit of a complex environment, particularly when you're working across wireless operators, right? So in this case, it's not just one, we're working across all wireless operators, both in the United States and of course in Canada as well, which means that there are different systems that we aggregate to our platform. There are different methodologies that those carriers use to process messages and to process gifts. And there's different accounting systems that each of those use to bill and to remit funds to the Mobile Giving Foundation. It also is, there's one more critical aspect of that, and that is the Mobile Giving Foundation essentially makes that complex environment easy for all other parties, right? If we didn't address the complexity on our side, then that environment would really be too complex for any one entity to do it. So we become the glue, if you will, that kind of pulls this disparate group of organizations together and provides confidence to that member of the public, that donor, to make a gift to a qualified charitable organization.
So for people who've never made a text-to-give donation, am I right in saying that you get a request and then you pull out your phone and you punch in the digits that are called short codes and you type along with that the name of the campaign and the amount of money? And suddenly you get a response back that, are you sure you want to do this, essentially? And then you confirm it, and it's called an opt-in, I guess, and you confirm it, and the transaction actually goes through. And then, of course, you wait for your phone bill to come in. That charge is on your phone bill. You pay your phone bill, and then your phone company will aggregate all such text messages made and send it back to you, I guess, for distribution to the various charities that are subject to those donations. Is that safe to say how it generally works?
Yeah. So I'll modify that just a bit. So it is, okay. We do simplify it. So what the public sees will be a campaign that is advertised on a variety of platforms. It may be on television. It might be on a streaming device, it might be in print, might be on radio. And the campaign will be, that call to action will simply be to make a donation. Let's use the American Red Cross as an example. To make a donation to the American Red Cross, you know, text Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation. And that donation will appear on your phone bill. So that's what you see. The steps that you take are, in fact, you're going to send a text message. The content of that message is going to be Red Cross. The destination of that message, in this case, is going to be the short code 90999. And you will send that hits our platform. That message, that text you send, Red Cross, hits our platform. We send you a second message and say, please confirm that, in fact, you want to make that $10 gift. You'll reply yes. And once you reply yes and send that, that hits our platform, and then we bill that donation to your specific wireless operator, whether you're a customer of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, etc. The Mobile Giving Foundation is the charity of record. We operate as an electronic donor advice fund to keep this simple. and to protect the public in this case, right? So the carriers, your donation, Art, will appear on your phone bill. Carrier sends you their phone bill. You pay your phone bill. And when you pay your phone bill, your operator, your wireless operator, will collect those funds and essentially, and then remit those funds to MGF. And then MGF settles that as a gift. We make a donation to you by taking your guidance that you want to make that $10 gift to the Red Cross. And we track that guidance, again, back specifically to that keyword, which is in this case, Red Cross, to that short code 90999. And that helps. Those, there's accounting features behind that that allow us to appropriately account for that gift.
Fantastic. I love that we're demystifying this because it's a lot. There's a lot of complication behind the scenes, but to the average person, it's pretty simple. And yeah. I might be going a bit far, but I think people might also be interested in knowing about these things we call short codes. What is a short code and where does it come from?
Well, a short code, good question. So a short code is like a telephone number. So your telephone number is a 10-digit telephone number. It begins with an area code. There's a prefix and the four digits following that. A short code is essentially the same thing, but it's designed to allow you to interact with an application, right? In this case, you're interacting with a mobile giving application. So these phone numbers, these short codes are phone numbers that are embedded in every wireless operator. And the wireless operator essentially takes all the designated pools of short codes, in this case, 4, 5, and 6-digit numbers. And they dedicate that into a repository managed through the CTIA. So any party can go and lease those short codes for specific use by their application, right? So think of a short code either as a phone number through which you access something, or maybe think of it as a URL, right? It's the destination where our application resides, just as your personal 10-digit phone number is the destination for your phone in your pocket.
Great. So, Jim, how were you able to get wireless carriers or wireless providers, I guess, to agree to allow this to occur? That is, to allow a person's donation to show up as a transaction on their bill. How were you able to convince them that this would be a good thing and that they should enable this to happen?
Well, there may be a lot of answers to that story, Art. I'm not quite sure. But fundamentally, it's this. You know, a lot of things are about a relationship and it's about trust. And of course, you know, I was a known quantity, if you will, in terms of building these types of solutions for commercial applications. And I think I was known and trusted because I was the global chairman of the Mobile Marketing Association, which had as part of its charge to create a sets of standards that would protect the user experience in buying things from online from carriers. And that gave some trust, I think, that to the operators that certainly there was reputable people behind us. That's one aspect, is simply leveraging relationships. Secondly, wireless operators are always looking for an opportunity to do good for one reason or another. Perhaps they didn't think that we would succeed in this case because it is a fairly complicated environment to bring together. And perhaps they thought their customers wouldn't respond, even though they were wrong. We've raised and granted tens of millions of dollars through text-to-donate solutions. But fundamentally, they want to, like you and me and others, they want to have the work they do be meaningful. And text-to-give solutions are a low-cost, meaningful way for them to apply their network functionality. And let me add one more thing. So if you go back in, so we began MGF again in 2007. The tsunami, Indonesian tsunami, occurred 2004. But in 2005, 2006, part of the trigger for me was a really interesting speech that Bill Clinton gave to an extremely large audience where wireless executives and other employees come together. It's a CTIA conference. In this case, it was one down in Orlando. So Bill Clinton shows up with H.W. Bush, right? They were working together in this case. And President Clinton came out and gave this 45-minute riff on the history of telecommunications. And he basically was challenging the industry to do better. Look, you guys are powerful. You do great things. The impact of the technology is huge, but you have the ability to do more, was his essential pitch. And of course, they had some experience by that point with our solutions because they had seen our response to the Indonesian tsunami. And of course, Katrina came right after that as well. So it was an interesting dynamic with President Clinton making this appeal on stage. It was a powerful, apparently off-the-cuff appeal. And then followed by President H.W. Bush coming out and giving him a huge bear hug and support for his argument. It was a unique emotional moment that preceded our work in organizing this in 2007 and came about at the right time where that served as a point of memory when we went out to build contracts. So in essence, you know, you're not going to carry your door with an idea. You pitch the impact of that idea and the value of that to a company's customers and to the company itself. And you put a contract together that allows for this to occur. And the ask of the operators was beyond just simply allowing us to do it, but it was allow us to do this at no cost on your network, right? Which is critically important for people to understand, because when you make that gift, you're not charged for, carriers take nothing from that, right? There's no overage for messages. There's no percentage of the donation. So all the wireless operators do this for free as a part of their overall sense of responsibility to their customer and community. So it was a fun time, and we were able to get it done within a reasonably short period of time.
Wow, I'm just transfixed by that image you left me with of a D and an R president embracing each other. That world seems to be ancient history right now, but I would love to see us at some point get back to that. We need to get back to a world where people of different political parties could embrace themselves. But I digress. The theme of this meeting is to talk about text to give. Jim, we've raised a lot of money over the years using this technology, and we've probably created a pathway for people to give who would not normally contribute to a charity, particularly during a disaster when our senses are truly affected by the images that we're seeing of suffering and our hopes that we can do something to support people who are going through that. Is it still true that text to give is used most during those times?
It's true that the most money is raised in response to disasters of one cause or another. It may be natural disasters, or quite frankly, it could be in response to gun violence. It could be in response to what we've just seen this past year with respect to public health disasters, i.e. COVID. A response to a disaster of one type or another certainly triggers the most donations. It's when you step back and take a look at, well, how does that reflect on the total number of charities that use mobile giving and the type of charities that use mobile giving? Mobile giving is used by national charities, they're global charities, they're by regional charities, by local small charities. And charities have different objectives. So some charities clearly want and use mobile communications to raise dollars. Other charities have a broader goal of engagement, right? So they focus on how many people, right, are going to respond to a specific call to action. And then there's charities that use it as building awareness, right? So it's more of an advertising tool. And they're concerned primarily with the number of eyeballs that might see their name. So there's multiple reasons that all types of charities use this. When you look at the largest response and when you look at the most well-known responses to a text-to-give solution, they are almost all in response to some sort of an emergency. I mean, just think of what we've gone through over this last year, right? So you've got well-known charities like the Boys and Girls Club, you've got Save the Children, you have, you know, major types of organizations that have been able to deploy the use of celebrities and making their call to actions, whether it's been on television, whether it's been on streaming devices, or whether it's been on pick some other platform or channel. They've been successful at that. You know, we probably have raised, just this weekend, we raised in response to the destruction that's occurred in Texas just a few weeks back when their electrical grid collapsed, and which compounded an impact on poor populations that were still trying to recover from other disasters in Texas. You know, Matthew McConaughey put together a concert over the weekend for his Just Living Foundation, and they raised over $140,000 in one night through a concert broadcast specifically on YouTube. And those stories are replicated frequently. Boys and Girls Club raised several hundreds of thousands of dollars earlier in the COVID pandemic to help fund school lunch programs that were terminated when schools closed. Again, it helps kind of highlight human nature of wanting to lend a hand, to do good. In this particular case, it's a tool that simplifies a response to pre-qualified causes that provides some assurance that if you want to make a $5 gift, a $10 gift, a $20, $25, a $50 gift, you can do so quickly. You can either protect your privacy or you can choose to provide personal contact information about the gift that you're making. And you can feel confident that the money that you're going to donate is going to that specific cause and used as they claim.
So, Jim, how about safety and security? If I am a person who makes a donation via text message, how confident can I be that both my information and the donation will actually get to the intended source or the intended place, the charity?
Well, you can be fully confident because of our background in the wireless industry, particularly with third-party content. You know, we know where past issues have occurred in the commercial world, and mobile giving is specifically designed to eliminate that. So anybody wishing to make a gift via a carrier billed solution can feel fully confident about the entity whom they are giving in terms of their qualifications on governance issues, on how they manage their operations with respect to transparency and accountability. They can feel fully confident that the money they give is going to go, 100% of that gift is going to go directly, is going to go to that organization through a re-grant from the Mobile Giving Foundation. And you can feel confident that our systems are such that if you are responding to a call to action, we know that you as a donor are expressing an intent for us to give your money to that organization, which will be fulfilled unless for some reason that organization moves out of compliance. And if that organization moves out of compliance, which we frankly very rarely see, in fact, I'm trying to recall if we have ever had a circumstance like that. I think we maybe have had one or two. Then MGF just simply looks for a like organization to make that contribution to. There is no personal data that of yours that gets exposed. And the only way for you to end up receiving or entering into a longer term relationship with that, with that cause of interest to you is by you expressing permission for that charity to reach out and provide content. So there's no inherent personal information given up, and the systems themselves are designed to protect every part of that ecosystem based on transparency and accountability.
Terrific. Jim, tell me, if you would, why companies use mobile giving in relation with charities, and how does that happen? What are some of the ways in which corporations work with charities to use mobile giving?
Yeah, so in that case, again, we, Mobile Giving Foundation to a corporate sponsor would look like perhaps a CSR tool. And we would end up looking like providing two things. One is a CSR tool to help that company affect their corporate goals. And we look like a donor advice fund that provides flexibility for that company in meeting those goals. So, you know, a couple of examples. I mean, we work with every wireless operator in implementing their corporate social responsibility programs. We work with financial organizations like Bank of America in enabling theirs. We work with retail organizations like Dick's Sporting Goods to accomplish their objectives. So B of A, each of those companies are responding to a specific set of priorities that they have internally developed, whether it's public safety, whether it's through Bank of America wanting to support various organizations like the American Red Cross. B of A will take a campaign and they'll put that campaign through ATMs. So there'll be an ATM display as you go to pull cash out, asking if you would like to make a donation and offering it through a text-to-give solution. Dick's Sporting Goods supports youth sports programs. So their foundation makes gifts to help build ball fields and other recreational facilities in communities across the country where they have a presence. And they'll use a text-to-give, they use our text-to-give solutions to allow their customers and others to help supplement their activities in terms of building out youth sports athletics. Wireless operators do exactly the same thing. The Boys and Girls Club campaign that I mentioned was a T-Mobile sponsored campaign, again, designed to provide support to school feeding programs, alternative school feeding programs as schools closed down. Verizon just supported a very interesting campaign designed to help support as COVID shut down the economy. A lot of small businesses were hurt, and Verizon has an interest in lifting and creating attention for those small businesses. And they've used our campaigns to support their objectives and that front. AT&T has a widely applicable CSR initiatives across objectives that get defined on a community and on a local and a regional basis. And they've been doing some extremely interesting work in response to current news items. For example, anti-Asian hate in Atlanta. They've been looking at supporting and are supporting activities in Colorado for people, and in Florida previously to that, for people who've been impacted by gun violence. So it's a flexible tool on one hand, and it's a flexible organization where MGF can have eyeballs, if you will, on 360 degrees around that. We can provide assurance relative to the safety and satisfaction of the users as a part of that campaign. And of course, MGF issues a tax receipt as a part of that to keep the partner's roles, if you will, simple. And then of course, we collect and issue funds along with an appropriate accounting report for each of those activities. So the corporate social responsibility piece is very important. And my expectation is that while MGF has responded to other corporate objectives, sponsor objectives, my sense is that we'll probably begin to articulate our own organizational priorities going forward and try to supplement their work with our own.
Terrific. And just like so many areas in our society where people of color aren't as engaged, it would be terrific if we could find ways, maybe through sponsorship, to support organizations that are led by people of color that seem to be left out, so to speak, of this wonderful opportunity to raise money. If we could do that, it'd be terrific if we could get support to not only enable the text to give, but also to get support for training and education for how to best utilize the capability. That would be terrific. That's an idea, a hope that's out there that might be able to happen. But as we come to the end of the interview, Jim, this use of technology has been, in my opinion, one of the great innovations that has occurred during my career in nonprofit leadership. And I just wonder, as an innovator yourself, what you see for the future of this technology and as we move into the years ahead, how it might continue to be used as a great tool to enable giving.
Yeah, it's interesting because mobile technology by definition and by practice is a highly, one, competitive and rapidly changing technology. The lifespan of mobile technology it is short, right? There's constant evolution, constant innovation that occurs across multiple platforms. Just think of the iPhone and the impact it has had on mobile communications. And, you know, that came into being in 2007, right? So, however, as those evolutions occur, messaging formats change. And so MGF needs to not just advocate for innovation, but prepare as innovation occurs with respect to the types of platforms that exist, messaging platforms exist, has to stay apace of user preferences with respect to how to bill and transmit. We have to stay apace and lead in terms of providing the public with new access options to see what's available and to take appropriate civic action. And as we kind of broaden beyond just simply giving, there's a slew of new program type services that kind of allow for people to raise their hand that, you know, I want to do something, I want to participate. And then most importantly, allow them to act on that, right? So, and then of course, culturally, you know, every age group has different priorities, right? And mobile giving solutions, mobile solutions themselves are kind of by definition compliant and pliant, if you will, in terms of designing functionality that allows those tweaks to occur based on, for example, age preference, right? So I think you're going to continue to see an expansion of messaging capabilities. You're going to see an expansion of transactional type of capabilities, and you're specifically going to see an expansion of services that speak to different age groups' desire to access information and take action on that information. And that is where it's all about, right? So we'll hold on to this notion that our job is to make it easy and to facilitate impact, right? We want to facilitate impact. We want to be able to, in a world that is often triggered by impulse responses, we want to create an environment around that impulse response that can at least provide some comfort in terms of quality organizations, in terms of assurances that statements made are, in fact, fruitful. So I would say look for innovation in those broad areas. And my sense is that not only does that have need and appeal by the general public, but that's also consistent with what we see brand sponsors and others looking to achieve.
Well, Jim, thanks for joining the Heart of Giving podcast. It's been a lot of fun working with you over the years. And I wish the organization and those who use it great success as we continue to build out the capability of the technology.
Well, thank you, Art, and thank you for your leadership, for your friendship, for your guidance. You're a person with whom we have deep respect, and we've always looked to you for guidance. So thank you, Art.
Well, thank you for listening, all of you who've tuned in. You can find us on all major podcast platforms if you're interested in other episodes, and I hope you are. This is the Heart of Giving podcast, and we'll see you next time.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. Send your comments and ideas to Nona@thusmarket.com. That's Nona@thusmarket.com. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's Terms of Service.